Good to see everybody out this morning. Hope you'll take your Bible and follow very closely and reverently to the Word of God. We'll turn to Leviticus chapter 10. I was thinking Wednesday night after Chris did his invitation about how we often get into mental ruts and we don't give the very best that we can give. And sometimes we do things half-heartedly and we need to examine that. We need to be very careful about our worship together. Worship always, individually when you're at home, but especially when we come together devoting an hour in which we are going to come before the presence of God together. And we show each other our reverence for God. And we are showing reverence toward God. And God is looking on. And God is looking in, inside our hearts. So that means then that we've got to really look closely at ourselves and be very careful. So Leviticus chapter 10 is a story about how people carelessly engaged the service of God. At that time, the priests were Nadab and Abihu. And it was their turn to offer the sacrifices. You remember how that they offered strange fire, meaning they didn't get it from where God told them to get it. Wherever they got this fire, it didn't come from the altar. You're supposed to get the fire from the altar and light the incense from that. If you respected God, you would do as God said. If you don't respect God, then you'll do anything you want to. But God did not accept that. In fact, it angered God to the point that he poured out fire upon Nadab and Abihu and destroyed them immediately. Now notice verse 3, Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." It's a word that is akin to the word sacred. That I must be considered sacred. If you went into some job opportunity and you sat before the one that had the power to give you the job or not, I think you would think very carefully about the attitude that you came in with. You might even think about how you present yourself in the way that you dress. You'd think a lot about who it is that you'll be talking to that day. But this is what God sees when he looks at us here today. He sees hearts that are either really engaged or not. And it's all in your heart, and God sees it. Now, what he says is, if you're going to come near me, you're going to have to regard me as holy. And before all people, I must be glorified. Now think about that. God says, I must be glorified. I'm not going to take half-hearted service. I'm not going to take flippant attitudes. You take the presence of God for granted. So let's think about some ways that we can improve our honor to God during such assemblies as this. Let's think about, first of all, how we might come prepared or come unprepared to hear God's word. Now, God says, I'm going to be glorified. I must be glorified. And God says, I must be regarded as holy. That should mean then that when the Bible is going to be opened, that we have a Bible. Did you bring your Bible? Did you think ahead of time that God is expecting me to listen to His word with great reverence and respect? It doesn't matter who's speaking it. It's the fact that His word is opened and being spoken. Number one, did I come ready to listen to the word of God? Now, here are some things that we should think about. We've dedicated just an hour. An hour in which we should be already prepared. Bathroom breaks before and after that hour are okay. And if something just happens to hit and you just gotta go, then maybe that's another exception. But I think sometimes we come thinking that this service is such a flippant thing that if I just get a notion to get up and go, that becomes a habit. We need to be careful that we do not establish that as a habit, that we're going to do that during the hour that is dedicated to listening to the Word of God. So let's think about that, and let's teach our children the reverence that should be there. I know there are exceptions. And there are times when we have a condition that we can't help. But let's make sure that it is not a condition that we have established by reason of habit. That we do not think reverently of the occasion. Second of all, let us be here ready to hear the Word of God instead of just drawing pictures. Now, I know that there are things that the Bible says you do as a child. If you are a child, you do childish things. And maybe children can be allowed this leeway. But when there comes an age where we put away childish things, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says. It should be the case that you read as you grow and develop, that you learn how to listen. That you learn how to take your Bible and follow along and listen and hone in on the merits and the power and the respect you ought to give the Word of God. It ought not to be that we're holding our phones for any other purpose except maybe we've got a Bible app. That would be okay. But if we're using our apps or if we're using our phone for just searching anything and everything that's unrelated to the service, then I'm suggesting that we need to take a look at our hearts because God is looking in there and He's either pleased with us or He's disappointed in us. And so let's be very, very careful about what we're doing with our cell phones when we have an hour dedicated together to worship God. Are you getting old enough to be responsible, to no longer do as a child, but to put away childish things? If so, then God is expecting us to be responsible before Him. So when we're listening to the Word of God, we must listen with reverence, and God says, I'm going to be respected. Now turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. I want you to notice with me Malachi chapter 1, starting with verse 6. He says, and this is when God was disappointed in Israel. So I want to know if he's disappointed in me. You should want to know, is God disappointed in me? Maybe I have some of the same characteristics as these people did that Malachi is writing to. He says in Malachi 1 verse 6, a son honors his father. That's usually the case. That's the expected norm. And a servant his master. A master will not put up with a servant that would not respect and honor him. And then God says, now if that's usually the case, if I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? And yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? He says, you offered defiled food on my altar. In other words, you did not come with your best. I expect the best. I don't expect you to show greater reverence to a father or a master of the earth than you show to me. You offer second-hand things. You show lack of reverence and respect. You offer defiled food on my... And then you say, in what way have we defiled you? And he says, this is the way you do it. You say that the table of the Lord is contemptible. What does that mean? That means that you come to the service thinking, oh, what a weariness. Oh, what a drudge. This is something very boring to me. That's what they were thinking. The table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? It's evil. Is God looking at our service, what we're bringing in our hearts? Is he looking at our hearts and is he saying, what you just did was evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Sometimes if we were to have the opportunity to go into the Capitol building and meet with the governor, I think that normally we would find that as an opportunity to show great respect. And God says, sometimes you show greater respect for humans than you do me. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat the Lord's favor. In other words, if you're going to seek anybody's favor and you're going to show anybody respect, let it be the Lord. Entreat the Lord's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done at your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord. And then drop down to verse 11 where he says, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great. When we think of coming before God in worship together like this, he expects us to think his name is great. In fact, Psalm 111 says, holy and reverend, that is holy and sacred, to be revered, to be feared and awed. Awesome is his name. My name shall be great among the Gentiles. So act like it. So come together believing that this is an opportunity to show that God is to be greatly revered. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations. Or my name shall be great among the nations. I'm expecting people to act like they believe that I am holy and awesome. Now, when we come together and we're listening to the Word of God like this, we ought to also think, that's not just Terry Benton. You can forget Terry Benton. What you've got to remember is what I just read is God's Word that will judge us in the last day. You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. God hasn't changed as far as expecting reverence. In fact, you look in John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Jesus says God is looking. He's looking for people to worship Him in spirit. In spirit means inside your heart, inside your soul, you are expressing from your spirit the best that you can give God. And God has said, I'm looking for that. He always expects reverence and respect. And He doesn't stop that just because we have changed from an Old Testament system to a New Testament system. In James chapter 1, verse 21, James says that we ought to receive with meekness, receive the Word of God with meekness. That means humble yourself and say to yourself, hey, I needed that. I needed that reminder. I needed my toes to be stepped on. Let me remind you of something I've said quite often. I always start with my own toes. And then after I get my own toes stepped on, I'll share the misery with you so that you can benefit the same way. We are trying to benefit ourselves by reminding ourselves when we come together and we're saying we're coming together to worship God, that He expects our spirits to be engaged. Our reception of the Word of God to be with meekness. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in about verse 15, Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, now I preached it. I preached it with godly fear. But I'm glad that when you listened to it, you didn't listen like it was the word of a man. But you listened like it was in truth the Word of God. You listened to it like you respected it. You see, listening to the Word of God is part of the way that we remind ourselves, God says, I will be honored. I will be held in sacred honor. And when we open the book and we listen, are we taking notes instead of drawing? Remember, take some notes. Jot them down so you can look them up later on and make sure that the next time we come together will be even better than the one before. The second point, better singing. I'm not talking about the quality of our voices. Although we want to give the best we have, some people say, well, I don't have a good voice for singing. That doesn't matter. God is not expecting you to have the greatest quality voice. He's just saying, I want you to sing from your heart. Give me the best. Sing and make melody in your heart. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 19, what does that mean? I'm not after the quality of your voice. I'm after the quality of your heart. Is your heart engaged? Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That means give Him the best you can. Not only are you giving Him the best you can, but He's expecting you to give your brethren. You're teaching and admonishing one another. Your brother looks over there and you're not even singing, not even attempting, and that's your habit. Then you're not giving God your best and you're not doing any edification to your brethren. You're not teaching and admonishing them in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Give God your best in song, and do it because you revere God. You respect God. Here's another thing. Not only that, but prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus taught his disciples, when you pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, holy and awesome, holy and reverent is your name. Holy and awesome is your name. When you pray, engage. Somebody else may be leading the prayer. But they're not just praying for themselves. They're praying to get all of our hearts engaged so that we're praying along with Him. We're saying in our minds what He's saying out loud. We're giving the amen to each thing that the prayer says. So engage the mind. Don't let your mind drift off because somebody else is leading prayer. No, this is a time to engage the heart because God is looking in my heart. He's looking in your heart. This is the time to bow our heads, but to engage the heart. Engage the heart. Get your mind focused on the prayer. Here's another thing. In communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 23 says, Now when the Lord gave the communion instructions, He was saying for you to remember His body and remember His blood. When you remember something, you're bringing it to the forefront of your thinking. It is not a ritual that you just do this. God wants me to eat a little bit of this bread and drink a little bit of this juice, and then I've accomplished what God has commanded. No, that's not what He's telling us. He's not telling us, I'd just really be pleased if you'd eat that bread and drink that grape juice every Sunday. If that's all we put into it, then we get nothing out of it. And God, I think God would be very upset. In fact, the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 forward, it says, Now, if you do not engage the heart, that if you do it in an unworthy manner, and the only worthy way is to actually remember and think about His body, the body that was prepared for Him to live and die on the cross in, that body. That's the body that we've got to remember was a holy and a sacred body designed to be an adequate sacrifice for us. I don't have any chance of going to heaven because I've sinned. But if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd have no hope. Neither would you. So we need to take this opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, and the idea is commune, commonality. I'm confessing my faith and my trust and my appreciation, especially my appreciation for what He did for me. That communing with Jesus and what He did for me on the cross, that must be engaged. He says, Now if you do it any other way, God is not going to be pleased. If we would be putting ourselves in the same situation as Nadab and Abihu, that God ought to lick us up with fire, that He ought to just kill us. He says, those, if you do it the wrong way, if you're not engaged, then you bring condemnation upon yourself. I'm intrigued by Hebrews chapter 10. He says those that violated Moses' law were worthy of death. how much worse punishment do you suppose he would be thought worthy who's just trampled the Son of God underfoot, treated the Spirit of grace so flippantly? I'm paraphrasing there. But that's the idea. That you just walk right over it. You just go through the motions. Just go through the ritual with no engagement whatsoever. Then he says, that's worse than what Nadab and Abihu did. And when you give, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 11, don't give grudgingly or just because you have to. But because you want to. That's where the heart is right. The heart is wrong if it doesn't give because of see the great blessings God has given us. But not only that, but he's given us his very best. He gave his son. He gave his very best. Brethren, let's think about that God should be counted as holy. He says, I will be honored. My name will be great among the Gentiles. My name will be great among the nations. Let's make sure we're among that group that understands that. Is God pleased today? Or is God disappointed? I hope that this is food for thought, that we'll engage properly. Let's share these things, make our children grow and develop and understand these things better. Let's show them by example our own reverence and then share why we do what we do. And then as they grow, they can put away childish things and they too can engage properly. They'll look back and say, now I understand. Now I understand what mom and dad were trying to tell me. Let's tell them that. And then let's set the proper example before them. Now if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, let's get our psalm books. You've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Have you listened to God's word respectfully? And have you understood the evidence that has been presented numerous times before you that Jesus really came here, historically came here, really died on the cross because he was addressing the problem of sin? And have you understood that he loved you and wants you on his team? Have you understood that you've got to turn your mind and your heart away from sin? You've got to turn it to God. Have you understood that you need to confess with your mouth what your heart believes? And have you understood that you need to bury the old habits, the old way of life, the old man of sin? That person that you used to be needs to be buried with Christ in baptism. And do you understand that you need to rise up to walk in newness of life? You understand that, and now you know. And the Spirit has pricked your heart, and now you know what you need to do. We encourage you to do that. And if you've done that and you've fallen, done some things that need to be corrected in a public way, and we can help you with that as well, please come and let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing this song.